Welcome friends to Literature Mantra, I'm Harsh Singh and in this audio we'll discuss structuralism. So what is structuralism and what is structuralist literary theory? See, structuralist literary theory is an approach to analyzing literature that seeks to understand the underlying structures that give meaning to a text or to a literary work. So trying to understand the underlying structures or the larger structures or the larger frameworks. And structuralism is based on the idea that all elements of a literary work are interrelated and that their relationships form a coherent system. Okay? So this can be a good definition of what structuralist literary theory is. Now before explaining structuralism in more detail, at the outset let me tell you that whenever you read about structuralism, few words you should always remember. One is binary, okay, binaries or binary. The second thing you should remember is relational. And the third thing you should remember is larger structures. Okay, so in structuralism, it is believed that everything is relational. So a pen is a pen because a pen is not a table, a pen is not a tree, a pen is not a car, and so on. Afterwards, binaries. In structuralism, it is also believed that we understand the meaning of anything, be it a word, a phrase, or a paragraph, or anything, by the use of binaries. Okay, so, for instance, we understand what is night when we also know about day. We understand what is good when we also have the knowledge of something bad. So, arriving at meaning or understanding or grasping even the most basic of things using binaries. Okay? And as I said that structuralist literary theory seeks to understand the underlying structures that give meaning to a text. Or let's say the larger structures of which a smaller element in literature or language is a part of. What are those larger structures or larger frameworks of which something smaller is a part of? So even in the case of literature, okay, literature is viewed as a complex network of relationships between various elements. So elements such as characters, plot, symbols, as well as themes. Okay? Now after that, keep in mind that structuralist literary theory has its origins in structural linguistics. Structural linguistics as developed by Ferdinand de Saussure. Okay? After this, keep in mind that Ferdinand de Saussure proposed that language is a system of signs. Okay? Language is a system of signs where meaning is derived from the relationships between those signs. Okay? And each sign is composed of two things, signifier and the signified. Signifier kise kehte hain? Signifier is the form and signified is the concept. The concept as it appears in the human mind. Okay? But also keep in mind that suppose I say the word tree, okay? Then the letters T, R, double E, this is the signifier. The image that comes to your mind is the signified. Okay? And the actual tree that I may be referring to in the outside world or in the real world, that is the referent. Okay? So sign kise kehte hain? Sign is composed of a signifier and a signified. Okay? Where the signifier is something like T-R-E-E tree, jo four letter word hai. And the signified is the mental image that comes to our mind when we read or hear the word tree. Okay? Both of these things make up a sign. Now, before I discuss some more ideas proposed by Ferdinand de Saussure, okay, through his structural linguistics, whenever you read structuralism and post-structuralism, at least go through the works and the ideas of at least four theorists. At least four. First, of course, is Ferdinand de Saussure, right? Second comes Claude Lévi-Strauss, okay? Claude Lévi-Strauss. Then we have Roland Barthes. And finally, we have Jacques Derrida, okay? Now, both of them, Ferdinand de Saussure and Claude Lévi-Strauss, are purely structuralists, okay? Roland Barthes is a interesting figure because earlier in his career, he was a structuralist. Later on, he shifts to becoming a post-structuralist, okay? And of course, with respect to Jacques Derrida, he is a post-structuralist. Okay? He is the one who is famous for the concept of deconstruction. Okay? Now keep in mind that from an exam point of view, the ideas, the works of all of these four theorists is extremely important. Okay? Now coming back to the ideas of Ferdinand de Saussure. Now as I already pointed out that he is famous for structural linguistics. Okay? So we spoke about what is a sign. Another thing that Saussure talks about is studying language in a synchronic way. Okay? Synchronically. See, before the coming of Ferdinand de Saussure, people used to study languages, okay? Or scholars did study languages, but in a different way. They studied it diachronically. In dono words ka matlab kya hai? Diachronic and synchronic. See, if we study language in terms of the history of changes in individual words over time, for instance, we all know that there are some words in English literature or in English whose meaning has constantly evolved. So in the era of Chaucer, the meaning would have been slightly different. In the era of Shakespeare, the meaning evolved into something slightly more different. And till the time, the coming of the Romantic era, Victorian era, and then the modern era, the meaning of a word or certain words have evolved a lot. At least of certain words. Okay? So if we were to study language in terms of the history of changes that have taken place in individual words, that will be called a diachronic study. Okay? But Ferdinand de Saussure says that instead of doing a diachronic study, it is better to do a synchronic study. So what is a synchronic study? Or studying language synchronically? Ye kya hota hai? He says that instead of studying language as a collection of individual words with individual histories or how meaning evolved over time, it is more important and more interesting and more useful to know about what the meaning of a particular word is at a given point in time. Okay? Or as a structural system of relationships among words as they are used, okay? As these different words or words in a language are used at a given point in time, rather than studying their entire history. That is a synchronic study. So often in exam, they ask you what is the difference between synchronic study and diachronic study. ठीक है, तो ये आपको पता होना चाहिए. Afterwards, another idea that Ferdinand de Saussure propounded was the difference between parole and langua. ठीक है, ये दोनों वर्ड जो हैं, ये आपको याद होने चाहिए, पता होना चाहिए. So what is parole? P-A-R-O-L-E. And what is langua? L-A-N-G-U-E. Langua. See, the structure of language is called langua, and the individual utterances that occur, that is called parole. So think about it in this way. The way we have grammar, right? Rules of grammar are there, and using rules of grammar, we construct sentences. Okay? So langua is the set of rules. Parole is the result of using those set of rules to actually utter some words or sentences. So ye difference hai. One is the underlying structure or set of rules, which is langua, or the structure of language, and the other is parole, which is just the individual utterances. And individual utterances are possible only after using the rules of language, the structure of language. Okay? Now, after that, let's come to Claude Lévi-Strauss. Okay? What was the contribution of Claude Lévi-Strauss? Now, first of all, who was Claude Lévi-Strauss? Now, he was a French anthropologist, in particular, French social anthropologist, and also a leading exponent of structuralism. Okay? Now, he's the one who created structural anthropology. Okay, structural anthropology in the late 1950s. So what he did was, he applied the principles of structuralism to the analysis of myths and cultural narratives. Okay, to the analysis of myths and M-Y-T-H-S, myths and cultural narratives. So first of all, he saw or analyzed mythology or myths as a system of meaning. Okay, so Lévi-Strauss did not see mythology or myths as a mere fanciful tale or just as a story, but as a complex system of meaning that reflects the underlying structures of human thought. Okay? So, sirf ek kahani nahi hai, mythology, it also reflects the underlying structures of human thought. And he argued that myths, like language, also operates through a system of binary oppositions. Okay? In language, of course, we understood that binaries are there. For example, we understand good when we understand bad. We know what is right when we also have the idea of what is wrong, day and night, and so on. Okay? So similarly, even in mythology, even in the field of mythology, there are binary oppositions, like nature, culture, okay? Good and evil. Because these things help human beings make sense of the world around them. So first, mythology as a system of meaning, not merely some fanciful tales that we heard in childhood. First point to ye hai. Afterwards, he also arrived at the conclusion that mythology has universal structures. Okay, universal structures. So despite the fact that on the surface, there is a enormous diversity in different mythologies, let's say many mythologies of the East, many mythologies of the West, there are very diverse type of characters also, name of characters also, but all of these different mythologies share the common underlying structures. And he tried to identify these universal patterns through something that he called mythemes. M-Y-T-H-E-M-E-S, mythemes. So as a definition, what is a mytheme? Mytheme is just a basic unit of meaning that makes up myths or mythology. Use kehte hain mytheme. So mytheme is a kind of fundamental building block of mythology. Okay? Mythology can be something very complex, but that complex whole must be made of some building blocks, some small things. And that small thing he called mytheme. Okay? So after breaking down mythology into mythemes, he looked for recurring patterns, transformations, and also relationships between these different mythemes. He also analyzed inversions, okay? So opposites of these various mythemes across different cultures or across different versions of the same myth, across different cultures or across different countries. And there are two important works written by Claude Lévi-Strauss. One is called The Elementary Structures of Kinship, okay? The Elementary Structures of Kinship. And the other is called Mythologiques. Okay, mythologiques. M-Y-T-H-O-L-O-G-I-Q-U-E-S. So in this work and in these two works, okay, he applied the structuralist methodology to understanding of cultural phenomena, including literature. Okay? So just keep in mind that the purpose of structural anthropology, which was started by Claude Lévi-Strauss, was to apply the structuralist principles to doing a comparative study of human cultures. And human cultures also includes mythologies. Okay? Now, after that, you should also pay attention to the literary works or the works written by Claude Lévi-Strauss along with his ideas. Okay? Literary works are also important. Often there are direct questions on the works written by Claude Lévi-Strauss. Okay? So, let's just go through the important works. Now, the first major work by Claude Lévi-Strauss was The Elementary Structures of Kinship. Okay? The Elementary Structures of Kinship. This was published in 1967. Okay? I'm talking about the English version. Keep in mind that he wrote his works in French and then they were translated into English. Okay? So the English version came out in 1967. Now afterwards in 1961, which was before this, okay? Before the first one, a very famous work by Claude Lévi-Strauss that was published is Structural Anthropology. Okay? Now he's famous for structural anthropology and the name of the work is also Structural Anthropology. Okay? And then we have in 1962 a work called The Savage Mind. Okay? The Savage Mind. Ye English translation hai. Okay? In French, the title of this work is La Pensée Sauvage. Okay? But don't worry about the French title. Okay? Wo nahi poochte. Wo aapse poochenge English translation jo hai, wo poochenge aapse. Okay? The English title is The Savage Mind. Now, uske baad ek aur work hai inka. It's called The Raw and the Cooked. Okay? The Raw and the Cooked. R-A-W, Raw. Okay? The Raw and the Cooked. This came out in 1964. Okay? So, ye teen char works hai inke. Ye kaafi important hai. Of course, he has written other works also. But these 3-4 works are very important. Okay? The Raw and the Cooked. That I told you. Then Structural Anthropology. Afterwards, The Elementary Structures of Kinship. Okay? The Savage Mind. Okay? And one more fact, let me point out that The Raw and the Cooked, right? This is a part of 4 volumes. Okay? The name of the 4 volumes that he published is Mythologiques. Okay? Mythologiques. Mythology nahi, Mythologiques. M-Y-T-H-O-L-O-G-I-Q-U-E-S. Okay? This was published in 4 volumes and the first volume was called The Raw and the Cooked. Okay? So overall, Mythologiques is very famous, but its first volume is the most famous. Okay? Now after that, coming to Roland Barthes. Okay? Roland Barthes. Now Roland Barthes is also a very important figure in structuralism. Okay? But a very interesting fact you should know about Roland Barthes is that initially he began as a structuralist. Okay? But midway in his career, he shifted to being a post-structuralist. Okay? That is why the works of Roland Barthes are equally important for structuralism and post-structuralism. Okay? And also keep in mind that the ideas of Roland Barthes are not just limited to structuralism and post-structuralism. They are also relevant for other critical theories, such as reader response theory. Okay? But of course, for the purpose of this lecture, we'll just focus on structuralism. Okay? Now, Roland Barthes was a French essayist as well as a social and literary critic. Okay? And he is particularly famous for his writings on semiotics. Now keep in mind that he only further developed the study of semiotics. Okay? He did not start the study of semiotics. And what is semiotics? Semiotics is just the study of symbols and signs. Okay? Now after that, you should know what is the overall contribution of Roland Barthes to structuralism. See, broadly speaking, he explored the relationship between language, science and culture. Look on the screen. Language, science and culture. Okay, so he applied semiotics or the principles of semiotics to literary and cultural analysis. Okay, so for instance, he analyzes cultural phenomena such as fashion, such as advertising, and of course literature also. And he analyzes all of this as systems of science, as a science system. So he highlighted the role of cultural codes and conventions in shaping meaning, okay? In shaping and influencing meaning, okay? Now, let me tell you in slightly more detail about his various works, okay? Because generally questions jo hain, inke works pe aate hain. Now, there is a very famous work by Roland Barthes called Introduction to the Structural Analysis of Narratives, okay? Introduction to the Structural Analysis of Narratives. This is written in the form of an essay. And in this work, Barthes explored the underlying structures and codes that govern storytelling. Okay? He identified common narrative functions and patterns. And of course, he drew inspiration from the earlier works by Claude Lévi-Strauss and also Vladimir Propp. Okay? And ultimately, this essay, along with the additional works and ideas of other theorists, led to a framework. Okay? Led to a framework for analyzing plot, analyzing characters and themes. Okay? Now, after this essay, Introduction to the Structural Analysis of Narratives, ठीक है, उसके बाद दो तीन और वर्क्स हैं इनके, उनके नाम आप याद रखना. One is called Writing Degree Zero, ठीक है, Writing Degree Zero. Afterwards we have Mythologies, ठीक है, टाइटल ही है Mythologies. Then a subsequent work after Mythologies he wrote called The Eiffel Tower and Other Mythologies, ठीक है, The Eiffel Tower and Other Mythologies. Now keep in mind that Mythologies is different and the next one, The Eiffel Tower and Other Mythologies, is a subsequent work. Okay? And then we have the most famous work of Roland Barthes called S/Z. Okay? So, exam ke point of view se, aapko in works ke direct naam to aane chahiye. In addition, you should know what these works are about. Okay? Now, let me quickly go through these works. Okay? Because these works are extremely important. Extremely important. Now, in Writing Degree Zero, what he does is, he explores the concept of a neutral or transparent writing style. ठीक है, न्यूट्रल और ट्रांसपेरेंट राइटिंग स्टाइल दैट कैन ट्रांसेंड हिस्टोरिकल एंड आइडियोलॉजिकल कंस्ट्रेंट्स. ठीक है, नाउ अलोंग विद दिस ही आर्ग्यूज दैट राइटिंग इज ऑलवेज इम्प्लीकेटेड इन आइडियोलॉजी. ठीक है, एंड दैट इज व्हाई ही सीक्स टू फॉर्म अ राइटिंग दैट कैन रेजिस्ट और सबवर्ट डोमिनेंट आइडियोलॉजीज. एंड इन दिस वर्क ही ऑल्सो एग्जामिन्स द हिस्टोरिकल एवोल्यूशन ऑफ राइटिंग स्टाइल्स एंड देयर रिलेशनशिप टू सोशल एंड पोलिटिकल कॉन्टेक्स्ट. ठीक है, सो जस्ट फ्यू थिंग्स कीप इन माइंड. Writing is always implicated in ideology. Writing styles have always had a relationship to social and political contexts. That is why Roland Barthes seeks a writing style that can be neutral or transparent. A kind of writing style that can transcend historical and ideological constraints. ठीक है? Now, after that, his next important work is Mythologies. ठीक है? Now, as I told you that this is just about various mythologies that he analyzed. So, this is written in the form of a collection of essays where he analyzes everyday cultural phenomena. ठीक है? So, he analyzes rustling, soap, powder, chips as myths. ठीक है? He analyzes these things as myths that convey hidden ideological messages. And with his analysis, he demonstrates that these seemingly innocuous or innocent things, innocent cultural products, reinforce dominant values and beliefs in society. Okay? And he's able to do this because he does a semiotic analysis. Okay? Semiotic analysis. Semiotic analysis to uncover the hidden meanings that are embedded in these mythologies. Okay? Uske baad dekho, the next work by Roland Barthes is The Eiffel Tower and Other Mythologies. Now, as I told you earlier that this is just a continuation from his earlier work. And this time he focuses on the Eiffel Tower. Now, you may have heard about the building in France called Eiffel Tower. So, he analyzes this and analyzes it as a symbol of French national identity. Okay? And he examines how this Eiffel Tower functions as a kind of myth. A myth that reflects as well as shapes French society. ठीक है, नाउ आफ्टर दैट द नेक्स्ट वर्क इज S/Z. ठीक है, S/Z ये टाइटल है. ठीक है, नाउ फ्रॉम एन एग्जाम पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू दे कैन आस्क यू विच शॉर्ट स्टोरी ऑफ बेल्जैक डज रोलैंड बार्थेस एनालाइज इन दिस वर्क. सो द आंसर इज सारा सीन. ठीक है, SARRASINE. नाउ दिस इज अ नेम ऑफ अ और अ टाइटल ऑफ अ शॉर्ट स्टोरी रिटन बाय बेल्जैक. ठीक है, बेल्जैक वॉज अ ग्रेट राइटर एंड रोलैंड बार्थेस divides this short story into further shorter units, into 561 lexis, L-E-X-I-S, lexis or units of meaning. Okay? And he also examines the multiple codes and interpretations that operate within the text, within this short story. And in the process, he challenges the notion of a single fixed meaning and highlights the reader's active role in constructing meaning. Okay? Constructing meaning of a text, that meaning. Then, as I told you earlier, he has also written an essay called Introduction to the Structural Analysis of Narratives. Okay? Isme hota kya hai that in this essay, he outlines a structuralist approach to analyzing narratives. That's it. Okay? And keep in mind that all of these works, right, of Roland Barthes represent the key stages in his intellectual development. Because in his career, as I told you earlier also, that he starts off as a structuralist and later on progresses towards post-structuralism. Okay? So he adopts the ideas and principles of post-structuralism in his later career. Okay? So the works and the ideas of Roland Barthes are important both in structuralism as well as post-structuralism. So just remember that in structuralism, rather than analyzing anything in minute ways, we just first of all find out the basic units and then attempt to relate it to larger structures. Okay? And few words I told you in the beginning that whenever you study structuralism, few words you'll always come across again and again, that everything is relational, meaning is relational, we understand anything by the use of binaries. And the third thing is attempting to find the larger structures of which a smaller structure may be a part of. Okay? That is what the purpose in structuralism is. And later on, when we study post-structuralism and deconstruction, you'll find out that meaning is not just relational. Meaning is such that single fixed correct meaning cannot be ever arrived at. And then we have the idea of Jacques Derrida called difference. Okay? Of course, we will discuss that later. But just keep in mind that after structuralism comes post-structuralism. But post-structuralism is not a total refutation or a repudiation of all the principles of structuralism. Okay? Few principles of structuralism are kept as they are, but some of them are totally refuted. Okay?